From the central coast of California, across the nation and around the world, bringing you conscious living through positive thinking. It's time to turn the lead in your life into gold. It's Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani on Radio Monterey.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. On the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm backing up.
Hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, bringing you radio for the open mind, empowered programming to enlighten your life. And it's also the producer-promoter of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, coming to the Monterey Fairgrounds May 2nd and 3rd. Now, we had our fall fair November 1st and 2nd. If we didn't see you, we missed you. And if we did see you, we look forward to seeing you again. So come on out May 2nd and 3rd so we can celebrate Beltane, May Day, spring, anything else that says we're just going to enjoy the sun and fun of the Monterey area at the fairgrounds. Our guests tonight include Arnie Buss, who's going to be talking to us, speaking of listening, a segment he's going to be starting here on Good Vibrations Radio. We also expect Israel Hurtado, but he seems to be missing in action, but he's going to bring us messages from the other side, and maybe that's my problem. I didn't leave the message on the other side for him to get it. And in the second hour, Charlotte Tinker will be joining us to talk Kuan Yin Speaks, healing the world one word at a time. So that's where we start today. And for those of you who are in the know, you can know that Kirilani is not with us this evening. She's off doing those great and powerful and wonderful things that Kirilani always does with her great spirit. So I want to just add a few elements of a go with the flow for you to get you going on this weekend as we head into Valentine's Day. Now, the first thing I want to say is Valentine's Day is bogus, so I don't really care what you do or don't do. What I do know is my love gets valentined, regardless of whether I believe in Valentine's Day or not. But what I do know is that this year is the year that we've been telling you about. It's the year of self-love leading to prosperity and success. If you're not working on shoring up those areas of self where you still need some self-healing, this is the time to do it. Don't wait. Don't keep putting it off. Lord knows. You know, I know that there are so many things I want to do today, but I'm putting them off till tomorrow, but self-love can no longer be one of them. And this month is the month of balanced love to begin with. It's really about loving yourself and then spreading the love out to others. What happens in life too often, we're taught that love is about what we give out to others instead of what we put inside of ourselves. So if you keep giving it out and you keep getting squeezed, pretty soon you have nothing left to give. If you give it to yourself first, you keep filling the vessel. And as you pull it out, you're putting it back in. As you put it out, you're putting it back in. Remember, love is not something we receive. Love is something we give and share to others. But we have to give it to ourselves first. That's where it starts. It always starts with number one. Now, we've talked earlier in the week how Mercury went direct yesterday. And it's in Aquarius. And, you know, Aquarius is also kind of not a self-reflective, but it tends to provide some distance to others. It's not one of our more communal signs. It's not a totally distant sign, doesn't need to sit off in the corner. So our communication is still going to require attention as we're communicating with others. We have to start our communication by always having the intention to create the connection, not the intention to get our point across. Not the intention for the other person to have to understand you. The intention to create the connection. And for those who believe in the shadow of the retrograde, we're still going to be in that for several weeks. So don't act like all of a sudden you don't have to pay attention to all those electronics around you and all your communication. It's important to always be aware. You know how we're aware? We're try to focus and stay in the present moment. And one other thing I wanted to share from Helen Wu. Helen Wu, we spoke to earlier in this week about her book, Self-Aid, which gets released tomorrow. Now, tomorrow is that magical day. It's a Friday the 13th. I love Friday the 13th, and you should too. You should stop getting caught up in the myth and the terror and the fear. Friday the 13th, 13 is about limitless possibilities. The door of the universe is open to you when there's a 13 energy. Now, it's a question of what do you want to do with it? You know, when I was a kid growing up in New York, every September, we would get the Sears catalog. And I would sit down with the Sears holiday catalog, and I'd start marking out what I wanted for Christmas. Now, I have to admit, this was a daily practice. I was very disciplined about it. The only problem was I had to keep changing the legends and the marking systems, because from day to day, I might change my mind. Well, you know, I don't really want that. That was yesterday's thing I want. I really want this, you know, and it would just keep growing and growing and growing. Well, I want you to imagine starting tomorrow that the door of the universe is open to you, and everything that you can give yourself with self-love is available to you. Not everything you want. Everything you can give to yourself with self-love. So if you ain't loving yourself, you ain't getting it. It's that simple. So start there. Self-love is the place where everything begins. This is the month. This is the year. Don't let the energy pass you by and you're looking back and saying, why wasn't I paying more attention to what my true intentions were, my true love was? And if I'm loving myself and operating from a place of balance and love, I'm going to have better connections with other people, regardless of Mercury retrogrades or not. And you know, all this talk about love and communication leads us to our first guest this evening, Arnie Buss. Now, Arnold Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers and a PhD in operations research at Cornell University. Now, he's been teaching computer simulation at the Naval Postgraduate School for the past 20 years. And hopefully, I've heard in the Navy's budget this year, they might actually get real computers so they don't have to simulate them anymore. But prior to that, he taught operations management at Washington University in St. Louis. Now, he's been studying effective communication for a long time, at least 12 years or more, keeping in mind that he's been aware of his communication throughout his entire life. And that's what led him to say there must be better ways to try to approach this. He's been teaching and facilitating specific classes for the past 6 years, and he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to Rotary, Kiwanis, spiritually oriented business group, facilitating individuals and couples with their interpersonal communication issues. As an accomplished speaker, in 2001, he was a semifinalist in the Toastmasters World Championship of Public Speaking. So we want to welcome Arnold Buss to Good Vibrations Radio. Welcome, sir.
Oh, thank you, Salazar. I'm very happy to be here.
And we're very happy to have you here as well. Now, I love the idea that you're going to be doing a segment on Good Vibrations Radio, starting actually next Thursday, first and third Thursdays of the month. He'll be doing a segment called Speaking of Listening. So what is it about listening that makes it that core element that you want to focus on related to communication?
Well, often we think of communication in terms of the message that we want to get across. In fact, you were just saying something very similar. But in what I found in both my relationships as well as observing others is that the barriers to communication often involve how one side is not listening to another.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Exactly. How often, when somebody else is talking, are you mentally just kind of tapping your foot, waiting for them to stop talking so you can get your point across? Have you really made that connection? Have you heard what they have to say? And is what you have to say and in any way related to what their true message is? So it turns out that listening is the critical bedrock skill in having effective interpersonal communication of all kinds.
Well, and when we're doing that, when I was talking about, for instance, we need to create an intention of creating a connection, is the fact with listening, just as you said, that we're not only taught that communication is about what we say, it's never about creating connection. It's so therefore, we're not trying to empathetically or empathically connect with the other person. We don't really care what you're feeling. A friend of mine who's from Russia, and she was actually even from the Soviet Union before it was Russia. But she always said to me that when she came to the United States, she found it so interesting that we would say to people, "How are you feeling today?" She said, "Because in Russia," or "How are you today?" She said, "Because in Russia, they don't ask that question because somebody might really answer it and they don't care." And it seems to me that most communication, as you said, is not about me really trying to understand you. It's always about me trying to tell you what I think, feel, or otherwise.
Exactly. And in fact, that's an interesting example about how are you, because when it comes...
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
When it comes to listening, we need to listen a little bit more deeply than just the words. So even in the United States, when somebody says, "How are you?" they're really not asking how you are. They don't want to know.
Yeah.
What they're really saying, that's code for hi. And when you respond, you always respond, "I'm fine." That doesn't mean you're fine. You could have just broken your leg and your wife could have left you and you've gone bankrupt, but you're fine. What does that mean? It's not the word fine. You're just saying hi back.
And so what you teach in your communication, of course, is ways of us creating more of that learning effectively how to create the connection and hear what the other person's saying, regardless of their words.
Exactly. And that's something that takes some work, because so much of the communication approaches that I see focus on understanding the words. And that's a necessary but not sufficient condition, because so often most of the message that another person is sending isn't in the words. I've heard the term 90% of communication is nonverbal, bandied around. I'm not sure what metric that is, and I'm not sure if it's 90%, but I think we could all agree that a lot of communication is not only nonverbal but also unspoken, as in the how are you.
Well, and actually, by the way, I do know a little bit about that study that's used, and most of us, including me, probably use it improperly, but it really was in what ways did we use different mechanisms to convey a message, and a big portion of our conveyance was physical, and there's a lot of the use of that measurement was often misused, so I agree with that. But what do you think, in your training, in your experience, in your understanding, and in your learning, what is the biggest misconception we have about our communication with other people?
Well, I think probably the biggest misconception has to do with focusing on the thoughts rather than on the feelings, as you were mentioning earlier, and on the non-verbal messages. In other words, this is hard on the radio, but for example, if you were to ask me, you know, do you agree with that? And I'd say, yeah. Or if I'd say, yeah, the words are the same, but the message is completely different.
Sure, the tonality is different. Yeah. And for those who can't see, as Arnie said on the radio, there's also a different body reaction to it. So you don't know, depending on the person, if, one, they're a very reflective person and they are agreeing, or they're not really agreeing but they don't want to express a disagreement.
Exactly.
You know, or they're maybe just unsure if they agree at all.
Yeah, and what the listening approach that I teach helps get to that. In other words, it starts peeling off those layers and sometimes helps the person who's speaking understand a little bit better themselves, because a lot of times people won't even be aware of what the message that they're sending, or even aware of what they're feeling. So mindful listening and empathetic listening helps establish that connection and opens up a space for the person to not only be more open and free to express what's going on for them, but also helps them understand what's going on for themselves.
And what I've heard you express other places, other time, was really, again, going back to where I started, but that's not why I started, is that you've got to want to. You know, it's the old George Carlin thing. You know, you got to want to. And if you don't want to, then this is not the latest technique to make you a clever conversationalist. This is really a tool for you to use if your intention is to really connect and communicate with other people.
Absolutely. And I think that the place where it has the biggest application is in close or intimate relationships. I've participated as a musician in many wedding ceremonies, and I have yet to see a single one in which the intent of both parties was not to have a lasting and loving relationship for the rest of their life. And yet, divorce statistics suggest that that's not the case for all couples.
Yes, it's still greater than 50%. I thought it was we have greater than 50%. It was, but some,
well,
somehow,
it's
but.
It's actually declining, and the 50% was actually a little bit. I don't know who was it who said something about lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, that's
but it's,
right.
But it's high. It's definitely up there, and it's a conundrum that on one day. You are totally in love with this person. You want to spend the rest of your life with them. You can't imagine life without them. And then on another day, sometime in the future, sometimes very soon in the future, you can't stand this person and you couldn't imagine another minute in the same room with this person. So what has happened?
Well, I think a part of that too, and it goes to our communication and how we tend to approach it as well, is that we are externalizing things. So we create externalized factors of whatever they are. Oh, he's so cute when he says that, or oh, she's adorable when she's like that. And over time, as we're growing and maturing, we are changing and shifting in those externalized factors. And so we've never internalized it. And what you're expressing, I believe, in your about your communication and the effective way of doing it is really internalizing the communication from here. I start from here into wanting to communicate with you. And if I'm not starting from in here, then even using the techniques you teach are not necessarily going to improve my communication to the point where I'm really going to create connections with everyone.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And you, if you couldn't see, Solazar was pointing to his heart. And that's something that I emphasize, that often we will listen from one of three places. Two of them are ego places and tend to make us reactive. So one is a place of the ego and the judgment or the parent, as we like to call it. And in that, what you're doing is as the other person is speaking, you're judging them. You're judging them to be wrong. You're disagreeing with them. You're saying you're just simply not attending to them. You're viewing the other person as wrong. The other reactive place is a place of the wounded child or the victim. And in that, we're listening to the other person, but we're taking it personally. And we're going, oh, I'm a bad person because of what they're expressing. Neither one of these establish that connection that you're talking about. The only place where we can have that resonance, that connection, is from what I call the aware heart. And I like the heart metaphor. And I like the aware heart metaphor or words because it means that we are aware that we are intentionally creating this connection with the other person by putting aside our judgment of the other person as the parent, putting aside our judgment of ourselves as the victim, and opening our heart to hearing what the other person may be expressing.
So we're talking to Arnold Buss about speaking of listening and a communication technique that he actually teaches people to improve their interpersonal communications. If you would like to participate in the discussion or ask a question, you can call 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-5792. And speaking of speaking from the heart or communicating from the heart, I want to use that because speaking is a physical act. communication is really the thing that requires the two people engaged in that. What do you find to be the most difficult challenge for people going through your training in learning to speak from the heart and not get that ego engagement?
Probably the single most difficult thing, and this is something that I struggle with myself, so I don't hold myself up as a guru or anything. I'm still trying to master this myself. The thing that most people struggle with, and I struggle with as well, is when somebody is saying something critical about me or about them, and it's something with which I disagree. So, you're a terrible person because you're late for dinner again. And in the person's mind, we're judging them to be wrong. And we're not really hearing what the underlying message is. So many times, what sounds like a criticism is really a cry for help. It's really a need for a request. It's really an unmet need of the other person. But if I get stuck in judging it, if I get stuck in disagreeing with it, if I get stuck in taking it personally, then I'm never going to be able to find out what that need of the other person is.
You know, and for those of you listening who are familiar with Don Miguel Ruiz, his Four Agreements and his recently released Fifth Agreement with his son, one of those agreements is don't take anything personal. Because what Arnold's talking about is we always express, each of us, from our perspective, our point of view, and what's in our own little world domain that we're reacting to, us reacting back. And if we learn not to take that personally, for instance, I was in a communication earlier this week where the person said, you told me this. And I realized, listening to Arnold, what my response was, I would never say that. Now, that's certainly how the person took it, but that's not what their real point was. But now I'm responding to something that gets us in a discussion that really doesn't allow us to resolve the issue. We did resolve it. But I realized my response of, I would never say that, and I know I didn't say that, had nothing whatsoever. It didn't matter what the person said I said. It was immaterial. It doesn't matter what the person says you do. It's immaterial. What is material is what Arnold's pointing out of getting to the core of what's really bothering you. And if it's really just the thorn in the paw of the lion, take the thorn out.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's a beautiful example where the other person believed that he heard you say that. Now, and as you pointed out, the fact of whether you said it or not is not only irrelevant but an impediment to establishing the connection. And I would venture to guess that when you finally establish the connection, that it was understood that there was simply a miscommunication or a misunderstanding of what the intent was. So what I try to teach is to come into every encounter with an attitude that if there's a problem, then it's simply a matter of a misunderstanding. And I find it an embodiment of the, what is it, the third agreement of not taking it personally. In other words, no, I didn't say that. Is it?
Well, I don't know. Doesn't matter.
But
we'll find it. But okay. But an important part of this, I want to express for the listeners, this is not about manipulating someone. This is not about doing or saying something to make someone else change their behavior. It's about finding out what the underlying issue is. Now, sometimes that could result in more effective communication and a behavior change. But it's not something you should go into and say, I want to do this so I can get so-and-so to stop leaving the dirty pot on the stove or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there is an element to the communication skills in my seminars that addresses that. But for the purposes of the radio program, I'm focusing on listening because, again, I've found that to be the place where people struggle the most. And I found that so many times, simply by applying the listening technique, which is called tracking, which I learned from actually a woman in Delray Oaks named Selwa Saeed, by applying that with a heart-centered attitude, very often the problems simply resolve themselves. In other words, if there's a misunderstanding, then that comes out. Now, it doesn't happen all the time, which is why there's more to the communication skills than simply the listening. But I found the listening to be such a big part of it that I wanted to focus on that.
Well, and I find that very important because, as you started to say earlier, and actually you may have said it, is that too often we treat listening as if we're waiting for our turn to speak instead of we're trying to hear what the other person's saying. And the effective part about that, at least that I found, is that once we stop, well, first we have to recognize. We have to recognize that we take everything in through our filter ourselves. So if we are trying to eliminate our filter by trying to hear what they're saying, it also gives us a much purer communication with the other person. So our response is less about, well, you know how that makes me feel? Because you hear that in a lot of training. You know, well, tell the person how you feel. Well, when you say that, it makes me feel like da-da-da-da-da. And really, at the end of the day, who cares? It's really about what is the other person saying, expressing, what's going on with them. And once you know that, you can be a better communicator. I'd like to share one story, Arnold, if you don't mind. It goes back to Dale Carnegie, who wrote, of course, How to Win Friends and Influence People, has that wonderful training thing. There's an urban myth, true or not, I happen to like it. But back in the 30s in New York, he was invited to a dinner party, and he sat next to this woman, a dowager type, a very, very wealthy woman, who turned to him and said, "Mr. Carnegie, I understand you're the most interesting conversationalist in all of New York." And he turned to her and said, "Well, thank you. Why don't you tell me about you?" And 2 hours later, after she was done telling him all about her, she said, "Well, Mr. Carnegie, you truly are the most interesting conversationalist in all of New York." So if we really want to communicate with others, that means we really want to hear what they have to say.
Exactly. And that's so important, because the scenario in which each party is kind of mentally just rehearsing what they're going to say when the other person stops, there's no connection. You know, so I'm kind of shooting my message out. It's not being received. Communication involves both the sender and a message being sent and the message being received. If you can send the most wonderful message in the world, but if it's not being received, then where did it go?
And think sometimes for the listeners, raise your hand if you've ever done this. Okay, I think some of you are not being honest. I'm not seeing a lot of hands go up. But think how often somebody says to you, "You know, yesterday, I've got to tell you what happened to me, da-da-da-da-da." They go into this story. And then instead of us doing anything that creates connection, we say, "Well, let me tell you when something like that happened to me." Okay, we're not communicating. What we're doing is we're swapping stories, because we didn't say, "Oh, what was that like for you? Was there any?" We're not even creating any connection. We're just going into our story. Let me top you one on that.
Yeah. No, that's another one of the barriers to effective communication, where I'm trying to tell my story to either top yours. There was, I think it was Kristen Wiig had this character on Saturday Night Live where she was always topping the other person regardless. Yeah. And it was a bit of an exaggeration. It was humorous, but in a sense, we do that when we swap stories. Now, there's nothing wrong with swapping stories. I like swapping stories as much as the next person. But if somebody comes to me and has a problem, then I am convinced that the best thing I can do for them is simply to listen to them empathetically and show them that I've really heard and understood not only what happened to them, but how they feel about it, and just what all of the various ramifications are for them.
Okay, so what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to come back to more with Arnold Buss speaking about listening, which is also not only training that he provides in workshops and with interpersonal communication sessions with couples, but it's a segment he's going to be doing on Good Vibrations Radio the first and third Thursday of every month. So why don't you stay tuned for more Good Vibrations Radio right after this commercial break.
You you can enjoy an evening of inspiration, personal growth, intellectual stimulation, and powerful energy for transformation at the Circle of Light. Connect with other adventurous souls seeking the expanded view outside the box. Join us at the Circle of Light on the third Friday of each month at the Unitarian Sanctuary, 490 Aguajita Road, Carmel, just off the PG Pebble Beach exit of Highway 1. Doors open at 7 p.m. General admission is $11, $9 for students and seniors. Call 484-1923 for more information.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Vibrations Radio.
We're right here on Radio Monterey. And I actually have that corrected segment from Kirilani, but I just never seem to make that a priority to get that resolved. But every time I hear it here, I remember it. So we're talking with Arnold Buss, who received his degree in psychology at Rutgers and a PhD in operations research at Cornell University. He teaches computer simulation at the Naval Postgraduate School at least for the past 20 years. But he's also been studying effective communication and relationship building for the past 12 years, as well as teaching and facilitating classes for the past six. So we're talking about his upcoming segment, as well as his passion, which is effective communication, but he calls it speaking about listening, because listening is where communication starts. So when we went to the break, we had actually also shared that most often we spend most of our time in communicating by thinking about what we're going to say and what we're going to say next and playing the one-upsmanship with our stories, et cetera, and so on. And when someone comes to one of your classes, what's the one expectation you would like them to walk in with that would help them potentially receive the information more effectively?
Well, I think that the one thing that I found helps the most with students is to realize that their attitude is the single most important thing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. In other words, in line with what we were discussing earlier, having an intention of communicating, have an intention of establishing that connection is probably the single most important thing. If you have that, then even if you apply the techniques in a way that isn't completely in line with what I teach, then it's probably going to turn out well. If you strictly apply the words and phrases that I like to give people, but don't have the attitude of wanting that connection, wanting to really hear and understand the other person, then it's not going to work.
Now, I want to share with the listeners my experience of the first class. I took one class. I didn't take the whole series and go up through it, develop any level of expertise, or even really care to connect with anybody. I mean, I have to start at the baseline. But because of, and I expressed this to Arnold as well as Dr. Buss, what my experience was is that it was very difficult to get out of the process of questioning someone because of what I do here. So I was so much in the mode of asking questions. And this is not about asking questions, because that can bridge defensiveness in the other person. We can unintentionally feel challenged. And think of it. Have you ever felt challenged? Somebody may be intentionally trying to connect with you, but they're asking you questions. Why did you do that? You know, how did that make you feel? Are you okay? And then you start,
yeah.
You know, now I'm going to be up for murder. So this technique and process is very different. It's a different way of thinking about it. It's a different way of approaching it. And while it's not something that's so difficult anybody could not pick it up, it really requires an intention to change the way you approach this, because it will create connection, but at the same time, you're not used to doing it this way.
Absolutely, and it's a different way of approaching it, as you mentioned. I've studied many different styles of communication, from things called active listening to nonviolent communication and imago dialogue and things like that, and they all have very wonderful things to offer. But what I found with this particular approach, which, again, I learned from Selwa Said, that it really is the most effective in engendering that connection. And one element of that has to do with asking questions, as you say. Now, it's not that there's anything wrong with asking questions, but if there's a bit of a emotion involved in things, then asking a question, or like asking a why did you do that, or what happened, or how did that make you feel, it tends to make the other person feel interrogated. And I think that goes way back. If you think of the earliest time when you were ever asked a question, and you were very little, usually it was because you'd done something wrong. Like, did you take the cookie?
No, man climbed in the window. And
or maybe being asked the question by a teacher when you hadn't done your homework. Again, all of these traumatic experiences. And so in areas that tend to be somewhat problematic emotionally, a question tends to send a person to their head. Even if there's not a strong emotion to it, you usually have to go to your head to answer the words of the question. And the thing about going to your head is that it takes you out of your heart. And the whole intent of this way of listening and communicating is to stay in the heart. So anything that takes you away from the heart becomes ineffective. And questions become one of those. So now, it doesn't mean that you can't, quote, ask anybody something, but what I teach are ways of taking a question and turning it into a statement that just sounds a little more accepting. It doesn't sound like an interrogation.
Yeah, and the statements are meant to be affirming of the other person, of where they are. And the other thing I want to say about questions, which I think goes to the point of your process starts from the heart, and somebody out there is going to say, oh, no, but my questions come from the heart. But they sound patronizing. I recently had someone at an event that I do. I was some things had gone wrong. I was pretty tense, but I wasn't expressing it to anybody. But this person came up and said they heard from someone that I'd been yelling. And I said, and who was it and what was I yelling about? And they didn't know anything about it. And they said, and then they reached out to me and patted me on the shoulder and said, it's all right. It's all right. Now, according to at least the documents in Monterey County Court, they're still living. But I actually had to back away from them and said, please don't do that. Now, their intention may have been absolutely pure, but there was a patronization that went on, which doesn't feel connected. And sometimes when we act like we're coming from our heart with those questions of, are you okay? Is it all right? It actually doesn't come across authentic. And I think that's a big difference with what you teach and what some of us attempt to do in our own misguided way.
And in situations like that, that's where attending to these nonverbal cues can be so important. You know, so if somebody is showing you by their nonverbal cues, the tone in their voice, that something's troubling them, then instead of saying, you know, what's wrong, you might say something like, so something's troubling you, or so maybe something's troubling you. Again, just kind of what that does is that tends to open up the space for them to either check inside and say, well, yes or no, instead of going to their head and saying, what do you mean?
And an important part where you said where they check inside, it also honors the other person, because going back to where Dr. Buss started earlier in the conversation, for those of you who are paying rapt attention, there will be a test, who are paying rapt attention, he said much earlier that when we're reaching out to the other person, not only are we coming from ourselves, but if we are actually giving the person space to check inside instead of the how are you, I'm fine, where nobody's checking anything because it's hello, hello, we're actually letting that person decide if they want to share or go beyond in that moment. It is not up to us to fix them, resolve them, or even get them to share at that moment. It's up to them to make all of those choices. And so this process allows them to make that choice in an honoring way.
Absolutely, yeah. You hit it right on the head, because honoring the other person is one of the key elements to having this heart-centered attitude toward them. And And as you said, they may not feel like talking about it really, even though it may be clear it's bothering them. I think it's very important to honor that. Or they may feel like talking about it, but they may be hesitant. And so what I found with this approach, this tracking approach, is that it helps take the layers off, just one thin layer at a time. Because sometimes people find it difficult to express what's really going on if something is troubling them. So this,
Not ready. For instance, as I mentioned, you know, I had an issue myself earlier on Sunday. I had to confront something, and once I did, I realized I had an emotional process to work through. You know, I could have dealt with an intellectual process, but I wouldn't have dealt with it. And Kira said to me, "What's the matter?" And I said, "I really at this moment can't deal with it." And she's very honoring of things like that. And we've had to learn over time to be honoring of those pieces with each other because we both process differently. And that's an important part of any communication, whether you're doing a good process or a bad process, is giving the other person space to have their space, to find the safety to be able to want to express to you or to have the safety of not having to express to you. When you think of any reality TV nonsense that's out there, any Jerry Springer event, any artificial communication in any fiction, it's always about somebody pushing the boundaries of another person in their communication.
Absolutely. And it's also that person going along with it. Because it does take two. And if the kind of getting back to being sovereign or being okay with myself, then what that means is that if I hear criticism from someone else, then if I keep myself okay and I apply the second agreement by not taking anything personally, then I can start to hear the pain of the other person. Because what I've come to be convinced of is that all criticisms are really some kind of expression of pain. So if I can connect with and validate that pain instead of taking it personally or reacting or responding or shutting down, if I can hear that pain, validate that pain, let them know that I've heard what that pain is about, then it opens the door to all kinds of possibilities for the relationship that weren't there before.
And at the end of the day, it still is up to the other person whether they choose to open and explore. And all we're trying to do is create the heartfelt connection to the other person to let them feel safe in being able to do that.
Exactly.
Now, it's not what you do if you're looking for gossip to share with your friends. This is not what it's about. It's not, as I said earlier, this is not some manipulative technique. It doesn't come from neurolinguistics programming or hypnotic language or some Svengali program you bought for $5 off a ebook on the internet. This is really an entire thoughtful process that was developed over many, many decades. Yes. It was refined over those decades. You became a student of it as you were exploring other communication options yourself. And you found its efficacy not only in your personal life, but in your professional life, and have now become the instructor of it, the teacher of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I just there's a saying that the best way to learn something is to teach it. So I'm still learning it. I'm still trying to master some of the intricacies of this, and I feel that I've learned enough so that I can share it with others and provide some benefit of that. Just in my own personal life, the biggest place it made a difference was in my own marriage. Hmm. Actually, my wife was the one who took me to the first class that we went to on this. And it was because at the time we were separated and had filed for divorce. Thanks to these communication skills and the way that we learned to really listen and validate each other, it's now 12 years later, and our relationship is better than ever.
Yeah.
So it's made such a difference in my life and in all of my relationships, not just with my marriage. It's made a difference with my children. It's made a difference with friends, with coworkers, and it really stems from that attitude. One of the beauties of it is that it's not it's it can be almost like a meditation, because it does involve being mindful and present to yourself and present to the other person, characteristics that meditation touches on. But the beauty is, because we're always interacting with other people, there are literally dozens of opportunities throughout the day in order to apply this. So it's a beautiful I hate to even call it a technique. It's a way of being with other people.
Well, let's call it a way. Let's just refer to it that way, because I always loved, on the Buddhist side, of the reference of the Tao as the way. It's the way. It's not a technique. It's not a process. It's not a mandate. It's not a dogma. And I like it as a way, considering it's a way of creating that heartfelt communication and connection with others. I think that's beautiful. And an interesting point, which I was busy thinking I wanted to say, but I lost, was really, I forgot. That's my profound point for this hour. I forgot. So for those of you who are interested in more information, do you have any upcoming classes, by the way, or any workshops that you have that you will be starting, or that they would just have to stand by?
At this time, I'm still setting my schedule, but I have some contact information.
Okay.
You can email me at ahbuss, that's ahbuss, at consciousawareheart.com. And I started a Facebook page called Aware Heart. And the reason I like these terms is because the essence of the attitude has to do with having a conscious, aware heart when communicating with another person, especially listening to them.
And I have to tell you, I really resonated when you said aware heart. I love that phrase. I love that idea. I love the way it feels when you say aware heart. So communication with an aware heart, I love that. It expresses what makes this way very different than any other technique or thing. And it's not a set of catchphrases, folks. I want to be clear about that. Even though it sounds like you have a question, there are ways of taking that question and turning it into a statement. It's not that these are magic catchphrases. And, you know, if I say catchphrase 1, 2, and 3, I get a connection. No, you have to listen to what the person's saying, how they're saying it, what they're expressing, and then know what to say back.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are some specific ways of saying things that can be helpful, but I never want to treat them dogmatically. One thing that helps people, at least at first, focus on the other person is by not mixing pronouns. In other words, if I'm listening, then you're only allowed to use the pronoun you. Because that focuses on what the other person. I'm not allowed to say I if I'm tracking this person. Now, that's something that I teach at the very beginning, and then as time goes on and you really are comfortable in communicating this way, then you can throw the rules overboard in terms of exactly how to say it. So it's not a matter of you got to say it exactly this way if you come from the right attitude. But what helps you come to that attitude are some of these tips, like only using the word you when I'm listening.
And for some of you out there, that may run counter to some of what you've been taught about communication, of you being the finger point. In this case, you, when you're making a declarative statement of understanding to the person, is actually not a finger point. It's a recognition of the person and the statement, the condition, the feeling, the behavior, the belief. So it's a very, very powerful process. So once again, that's ahbuss, A-H-B-U-S-S, at consciousawareheart.com. Also go to Facebook, Aware Heart at Facebook, and connect, like the page, connect and start getting the information in the first and third Thursdays of every month. Dr. Buss will be with us speaking of listening so that we can become more conscious, more aware, more heartfelt communicators with everyone in our life. This is, now I remember, the millennium of the two. This is the millennium of relationships. If you are living your life in a process of saying you're going to go it alone at everything you do, then you're missing what the millennium is giving to you. The millennium is saying we collaborate, we partner, we participate, we do in union with others when we can. That doesn't mean we don't do anything alone, but when we can, we learn to express, share, and connect with others. That's the lesson of this millennium. And we're at the bottom of it. We're at the beginning of it. We get to set the tone for those who follow. So I want to thank you for taking your time to come with us, to be here with us this evening. Looking forward to seeing you start next week. And I want to remind each and every one of you out there, remember that you want to start each day the way Jimmy Buffett tells you. Good Vibrations Radio will be right back after the top of the hour with more Good Vibrations.
Bully in the playground, where am I gonna play? Found a better playground half a block away. Made a little song up, caught a little rhyme. An attitude of gratitude will do it every time. An attitude of gratitude when stuff has got you down can get you satisfied and turn your world around. An attitude of gratitude, hooray for what's okay. Say thank you with emphatitude and it's a brand new day. Doghouse, mama's up a tree.
Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, Radio for the Open Mind, Empowerment Programming for Your Enlightenment, and the promoter-producer of the Rota Psychic Fair coming to the Monterey Fairgrounds May 2nd and 3rd. If you weren't there November 1st and 2nd, we certainly missed you. And if you were there, we look forward to seeing you again May 2nd and 3rd so we can have sun and fun at the Monterey Fairgrounds. We can celebrate Beltane and May Day and spring and just being together again. Now, our guest this hour is the Reverend Charlotte Tinker, Channel for the Marvelous Kuan Yin. She's ordained as a healing minister and trans-channel from the Healing Light Center Church in 1990. She has an extensive background in formal education in the healing arts and continues to provide a broad spectrum of classes and workshops to a large and ever-expanding community. And she's committed to acting as a channel for Kuan Yin since their meeting in 1987. In addition to providing personal and group sessions, she's made the channeling teachings of Kuan Yin available to the public through published books and YouTube. And Charlotte, we want to thank you and welcome you once again to Good Vibrations Radio. And we want to let folks know that Charlotte will be doing a regular segment with us every week right here, called Healing the World One Heart at a Time. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be back.
And we're very glad to have you back. It's really in time. For those who know and been paying attention, we've had Charlotte here several times in the last 6 months, and we're just absolutely excited she's going to join us as a regular segment every week so that we can have that great Kuan Yin wisdom as well as the Charlotte Tinker energy flowing on through. So, you know, one of the things we talked about earlier in the week with one of our guests by the name of Helen Wu, she was talking how she went from depression and stress and tension. And I was just thinking from what we were talking about before we started, I'd just like to share it once again for the listeners.
Sure.
And first time for you. And she's published a book called Self-Aid, which comes out tomorrow, Friday the 13th. And 13 is about limitless possibilities. The catalog of the universe is wide open. And Self-Aid is an acronym that means self-aid, one step at a time, help yourself. The E is for esteem. Make sure you're giving yourself self-esteem and confidence. The L is for love, giving yourself that love so that you're filling your bounty with love and then going forward to love others. And laughter. Be ready to laugh at yourself. So love and laughter are a team that work together. The F is for freedom. Make sure you're making the choices by letting go of the anger, pain, and other things and other baggage that you hold on that keep you a prisoner in the past instead of a participant in the present. And A is for attitude. Check your attitude, the attitude of gratitude that we played with Jimmy Buffett a little earlier in the first hour. And we may play it again because this is the time for that reframing. Operate with integrity. We talked about the four agreements with Don Miguel Ruiz. And remember, his first agreement is be impeccable with your word. Operate from a place of integrity, a place of truth. And integrity means when we say and do things, we're not doing them or saying them as a source or in a way that hurts or harms another person. That's not integrity. That's ego when we're doing that. And dare to dream. Don't ever let go of your dreams. So we want to thank you for coming to join us. And what is it that you feel you would like to share from the wisdom of Kuan Yin or from the wisdom of Charlotte Tinker today?
Wow. There's so much.
Absolutely. And that gives you a wide open universe.
A wide open meter, right.
It's limitless.
So it's limitless. So this day, I write nearly every day. And at the end of my writings in the day, I always take my the date, 2015, and the number for the month, and then the number of the date. And today's date happened to be 13, which I think is very interesting. And I associate these numbers usually with the tarot, because that's what I have been working with and studying for quite a long time now. And that's the death and regeneration card. And that condenses itself into four, which is about order and organization and the outer kind of world in there. And I was thinking this morning when I was doing that, that this is the beginning of a whole new thing for me. So there's a new leaf turning over, I guess we could say, by bringing Kuan Yin out to the radio audience. And I'm very excited about that. We're going to be talking a little bit about relationships together and what she channels about relationships. And the interesting thing about channeling in the way that I do is that I get a whole experience of what it is that she is filled with, because she fills my body with that, before she ever starts to speak. And so one of the things that I'd like to do is to begin to say, oh, this is what she said, and this is how it felt, and this is how I try to apply it in my life, and maybe this is something that you could do too. So today is about change and about moving forward, planting seeds of new birth.
And that goes for all of us. So when Charlotte's here doing her Healing the World One Heart at a Time, which is so coherent and congruent with what Arnie Buss was talking about of heartfelt and heart-aware communications earlier, when we're healing that heart, what we want to all do is listen and learn. This is our time to take in information, apply it inside us, and see how it works. So did you have something you were ready to share this today, or did you want to just talk?
Well, I thought maybe we would just chat a little bit.
That's perfectly okay. That's perfectly okay. Because one thing a lot of folks don't recognize is that all of us, regardless of the work we're doing, are human. And we go through human experiences, and we have our ups and downs and our emotional roller coasters. It's been a challenging week for me, and as you mentioned,
oh, yes.
There's been some challenges in it for you. And for most of the folks that I've heard this week, there have been a lot of challenges.
Yeah, I think it's actually easing up a bit. I know the last well, all of January, in fact, was very, very kind of roiling all the time. It wasn't that anything didn't get accomplished and we didn't get things finished, but it was like struggle all the way through. And there were all of these interruptions. I remember last weekend saying, you know, I plan my weekends out so I have time at the beach and I have time to take care of myself and I still get all the stuff done that needs to get done over the weekends because I'm in an office 4 days a week. And found that it didn't matter how much space I left in between, everything was disrupted on a day-to-day basis, and I was juggling the whole time. And that hasn't slowed down, actually. That hasn't changed much since February started, but somehow I'm either becoming used to it or the energy around it has been smoother, because while I'm still feeling like I'm having to work hard all the time to keep up, I'm not so stressed with it. And the people I've been talking to have eased a bit as well. You can see their fields start to soften out, and they're breathing more, you know, dealing with the changes that are coming up, even though they're unexpected, and not being so frustrated about it. So I think we're kind of easing into a little better field of energy, I guess, is the way that I would put that. Yeah.
Well, I certainly hope so. And we've seen some indication of that astrologically with some of the shifts going on and some of the influences. As we know, for the last 3 years, too, we were under the influence of the Uranus-Pluto square, one more coming up March 17th. And that's kind of established institutions, beliefs, and systems being confronted with the planet of rebellion and overthrow. And, you
right.
know, it's like all of that energy out there. There's so much going on. But I understand and completely agree with what you've shared about how it has seemed to be. It has been to me like a swim through molasses,
right.
upstream through molasses.
In the riptide. Yeah.
So if any of you, by the way, have any questions that you would like to ask the Reverend Charlotte Tinker, you are welcome to call in 831-899-5792. If you have a question for me, you're welcome to answer it, ask it as well. And so you can ask your question or share your experience of what you've been going through in the last year leading into this year. Have you felt the release of the energy around you? Do you feel as if now you're breathing better, that the pressure's off your chest? Because there have been times mm-hmm. that it's felt like that.
Right.
And I actually honestly have felt in the last year and a half that I was running really hard in place.
Right.
And I got nowhere fast. And then when I looked at some of the things I did, I looked back even at my finances, I said, I don't know where I was, but I wasn't on planet Earth.
Well, you know what Kuan Yin tells us? When you feel like you're running like crazy, she says, stop. You know, her advice is so simple in a lot of ways and absolutely practical. I don't know whether that's because I'm a real pragmatic Taurian and therefore, you know, that's how she channels through me, or whether she's actually practical in her own right. But she just is very clear about it. When things are too busy, when things are going too fast, when you're running, and you don't seem to be getting anywhere, when you find yourself not sleeping well and you're not doing the things you know that you need to do to take care of you, stop. And she means literally stop. She doesn't just mean stop thinking about it. She means put your body down in a chair or at the beach or against a tree on the ground or, you know, wherever it is that nature helps you come back to yourself. Every time your mind starts to cycle around and around to it, say out loud, stop, thank you very much, I'm going to do this now. And think about how your body feels on the sand. Think about or sing a song or, you know, focus, concentrate, refocus your whole mental and physical attention in a way that is exactly opposite of what's been going on. And when you do that, you find you begin to have a little space. And when that space starts to come, then it's time to breathe into your heart and begin to relax into who you truly are so you can find yourself again.
Boy, for those of you listening, was that not powerful to hear that? And that was something we want to remind you of. That's the type of great information you can expect. We want you to go to Kuan Yin Speaks, QuanYinSpeaks.com, and take a look at the products and services, especially the books, because I have several of them. I actually have one that I carry in my bag back and forth here to pick out the wisdom of Kuan Yin, and that was just so powerful. What I liked about it was it incorporated in my mind. This is my mind. This is my monkey mind speaking now, ladies and gentlemen. Several things. One is especially getting out in nature. Nature is such a rejuvenator for us. And how often in our modern society that we keep ourselves apart from nature because we're in these structures that are not connected to mm-hmm. nature. And secondly, nature is also where we ground. For those who have listened to Howard Strauss and grounding, and how our reconnection with nature can actually heal us if we put our feet into the sand or the earth, or we create that physical functional connection, it can actually heal us. It regrounds our bodies. It regenerates our healing process internally. So that's another wonderful thing. So sitting down under that tree or sitting down in that sand and creating that physical functional connection is not just a moment of calm and quiet. It's a grounding that's physically mm-hmm. healing us just by being there. And then the very simple phrases of telling ourselves to just stop. Feel that? Did you feel that when we just stopped? How powerful is that? I loved that. It was such simple, direct, and profound advice.
It works. For me, I don't care how beautiful something is, how smart it sounds, how esoteric it may be, how wonderful it seems. If I can't make it function in my life, it hasn't got much meaning to it. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I've been doing since I met Kuan Yin and we've been working together is I do an awful lot of figuring out how to take what she tells us and then make it happen in my life so that I actually live out the lessons that she gives us. So you said something very interesting about how we cut ourselves away from nature by being in buildings and things. Please do remember that the other way we do that is even if we're sitting out at the beach or in a tree and you're texting on your phone or you've got your iPhone on your iPod going in your ears and you're listening to music, you have successfully disconnected yourself from the very thing that will heal you and mm-hmm. give you rest and relaxation. So part of being in nature means to turn off all of your wonderful devices. They'll wait for you, just like your mind chatter. If you ask your mind to be quiet and drop its list that you'll come and get it later if you want it, it cuts or quietens that mind chatter going, and it allows you then to come back into your own physical being, which is where you need to be if you're going to get healed.
And that led me to a thought, and again, this is just going to be scientific, empirical, pulled out of my butt position of Solazar, but when you were talking about texting and being your iPad and your iPhone, everything else going on, it made me think that actually a lot of the stress in the modern society is because we've got these waves going on mm-hmm. all the time. We have all of these waves going by us, through us, around us. So we're not actually in a settled, stable environment at any moment in time.
Field of energy.
Oh.
Is the word you're looking for.
Well, actually, that was three words, I think, right? Field of energy.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, you're right.
It's
yeah,
a single
right.
word. But yeah, our field of energy, whatever it is, your field of energy, your auric field, whatever you want to call that, our fields of energy are being impacted 24 hours a day, whether we're aware of it or not. So it really behooves us, each of us, to construct a way that we can drop out for a little bit every single day. For me, I go to the beach, I sit in my car, I roll the windows down because it's the wind that clears my field out and allows me to get rid of everything that's kind of stuck on it all day mm-hmm, long and mm-hmm. all night long. And we're in a period of time now where there is so much war. There is so much violence. There are so many people who are dying. all over the world from one thing or another, whether it's at war or whether it's in disease or whether it's whatever it is. And while those of us in my particular community are highly empathic and have a difficult time dealing with that, the reality is that there isn't a human being in the world who does not have a connection with every human being in the world through their auric field. So whether you're as empathic as some of us are or not, you still are impacted by the amount of energy that is being violent to who you are, because it's a bigger field. And my healing teacher, Reverend Rosa Breyer, used to say the biggest field wins. And when there are 5,000 people who are in fear or terror or anger or hate or in fighting, believe me, they have a bigger field than you do. So it really is a challenge, as well as it's really a challenge on how do we find time every day to pull out and be quiet and come back to ourselves and refill ourselves so that we can be the light that we are in the world while it's appears to be falling apart around us.
And so I'm going to take a slight digression from what you said, but it builds right on what you were sharing. And we spoke to Jonathan Goldman 2 weeks ago, and he's certainly a pioneer in sound healing. And this Saturday, February 14th, is his World Sound Healing Day. And you can go to worldsoundhealingday.org and connect over and be part of the connection of everybody around the world attempting to create the sound and connection for healing our planet, healing ourselves, and creating peace. But it also goes, it reminded me of something Greg Braden shared. He does a lot of work with HeartMath up in Boulder Creek, and you may or may not be familiar with them, but HeartMath works with the science of the heart, and they treat the heart as a muscle, but it's more than the science of a heart. They teach people how to communicate through and with their hearts, mm-hmm. how to react through and with your heart, even how to create memories within your heart that when a negative occurs, you're able to filter through the positive memory to keep really the energy of what you're expressing, doing, living, or being positive. It's not rose-colored glasses stuff that we're talking about. But he said there was a measurement done, actually, through multiple scientists as well as HeartMath, right after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy of the planet became very peaceful as the empathy and right. the caring of so many got expressed through their heart. They didn't say or do anything, but we shifted the energy of the planet. And then what did we do with it? We turned it into war.
That's
we
right.
had to turn it into the opposite of what it was. We had so much capital following 9/11 to use in a positive, proactive way, and we chose to go the opposite way. And that, unfortunately, seems to be, I don't know if it's the nature of mankind, but it certainly seems to be an American trait.
It's very interesting. I have a pamphlet, actually, that you can get. After the week after September the 11th occurred, Kuan Yin did a channeling for us around that, because there were so many of us who were kind of stuck, actually, and curious. And she said, essentially, well, the day after that had happened, we gathered together to do some, to go and help those who had died, and found there was nothing to do. There was nothing to do. So we worked with all of the survivors, because that was where it was. So Kuan Yin told us, essentially, that everyone who was involved in that had made that choice, both the people who blew up and the people who were blown up, everyone involved had made that choice because it opened a door of possibility for us to go in a whole, totally different direction. And we managed that for a very brief span of time. And as you said, we turned right around and even more strongly went in the direction that we've been going on. So instead of looking at that and saying thank you to all of these people who are involved and choosing to live in a gracious and grateful way, in a way of loving all of that happened and seeing how we could make our lives different because of that. We fell back into the old, old traditional ways of wanting to go and get vengeance. And she had some beautiful things to say in this pamphlet. If you're curious about it, it's easy to get. So
go to KuanYinSpeaks.com, go to the Books and Things, and the pamphlet is September 11th.
Yes.
And it's only $3
plus
shipping and handling.
Plus shipping and handling, yeah.
So if you want to hear about it. Interesting side note, if I may, is that that Christmas, December 2011, Kira and I went to New York to spend the Christmas holidays with my family. And we spent a lot of time in New York City at that time. We actually went down to the site of the attack. And I noticed, and Kira noticed as well, that the site felt reverent. It was interesting.
Yes.
It's not, you know, so they spent all this time squabbling about about a memorial, and my opinion was they didn't need one. The site itself felt extremely reverent. And this is the only time in all my years of growing up and spending much time down in New York City, down in Manhattan, that, one, the streets were not packed or crowded.
Mm-hmm.
People were polite and smiling and calm. There were taxis all over the place. You could have had every taxi in the world if you wanted it. Just even to go a block, they'd pick you up. But there was a certain level of calm in that city mm-hmm. that I'd never known before or since. But it existed at that time, and I was very very taken by that total sense of reverence. And remember, we're talking someone, as in my case, you know, I've been to St. Patrick's Cathedral many times. I've been to many other churches and cathedrals. I've never felt that sense of reverence coming from the site itself.
It's because my take on that is because all of those people did what they came to do. So there wasn't, you know, I've been out and done rescue work before where oil wells blew up and buildings collapsed and people died. There was none of the not knowing that they were dead. You often find that when you do rescue yeah. work, folks don't know that they're dead. And you have to go and say, oh, by the way, did you know you died? You know, you go and you say, it's time to cross over. Is there anything that you need to say to anybody before you go? And so you promise to pass the messages on and you deal with that way. And then you connect them up to the gold light that everybody has hanging over their shoulders, you know, and off they go. And you get to watch them cross over. You get to watch them go wherever it is they believe that the other side is like, which is really lovely. There was none of that. There was no sense for any of us that there was any fear, any trauma, any anger, any sense of loss, any sense of confusion. And I have not been to that site. I suspect that quietude, that peace that you found, has a great deal to do with the fact that everyone who was involved there knew that they did what they came to do and had completed their life cycle as they had chosen to do before they came in to body and were prepared for that and did well.
Very possible. And I certainly can say I haven't been back since then. I've been back to New York, but I haven't been back to the site since then. And I would suspect that memorial doesn't hold that same energy.
No, I don't think so. I've seen pictures of it. It doesn't have much of any energy around it actually at all. I personally thought they should leave it where it was. I thought they should leave the ground where it was, plant grass and trees, maybe have a water pond or reflection pond or something, but to leave it essentially as it was, and that its memorial was the site and not something you built on it.
I'm in complete agreement.
Yeah.
I think that was a big missed opportunity.
Yeah.
But that also goes back to what Kuan Yin was directing us all to do earlier when we're having those moments, is to go out and get in nature, and this would have been the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Bring nature back. Don't bring concrete and steel and stone back.
Right.
Go get into nature, because if we connect with nature, it helps us in our connection with each other. And they lost a wonderful opportunity there. They certainly did. And actually, we did. I don't know about you as the person or others listening, but I feel that I have carried a sense of sorrow ever since that day, not because of the event, but because of what we did with it.
Because we missed the opportunity. Yes, I have too. There's a funny kind of deep sadness about this missed opportunity. And for me, you know, I take on responsibility. It's not mine, and I'm going to tell you not to do it because Kuan Yin would say the same thing. And still in all, there's a sense that somehow or another there weren't enough of us yet, right, who had figured out how to be truly settled deeply into our hearts, into our soul selves, in such a way that we could overbalance this shift back into an old direction instead of moving forward in the new direction. However, the good news is that that's changing radically on a day-to-day basis.
Well, that part certainly we see around us, all of us see, and if you're paying attention, you're seeing it. There's more and more awareness. There's more and more intention. Unfortunately, we're still uncertain about what to do with it. But I know what I'm going to do next. We're going to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to more of Reverend Charlotte Tinker and Healing the World One Heart at a Time, as she shares from her wisdom, her training, her teaching, as well as the wisdom of Kuan Yin. This is Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani. We'll be right back.
You can enjoy an evening of inspiration, personal growth, intellectual stimulation, and powerful energy for transformation at the Circle of Light. Connect with other adventurous souls seeking the expanded view outside the box. Join us at the Circle of Light on the third Friday of each month at the Unitarian Sanctuary, 490 Aguajito Road, Carmel, just off the PG Pebble Beach exit of Highway 1. Doors open at 7 p.m. General admission is $11, $9 for students and seniors. Call 484-1923 for more information.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Vibrations Radio.
On Radio Monterey. And we're talking with Reverend Charlotte Tinker. She is a channel for Kuan Yin. She's also a healer and teacher. And she is sharing Healing the World One Heart at a Time with us. And we've been talking about many things related to opening, connecting, relating to our heart, as well as the Reverend Tinker's book, or Reverend Tinker's Kuan Yin book, September 11th, which you can go to Kuan Yin Speaks. Now, you can connect over to that from the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com and go to the Books and Things section, and for $3 plus shipping and handling, you can have September 11th with Kuan Yin's beautiful and provocative perceptions on that world-changing event. And as we were coming back, you mentioned that there was a teaching of Kuan Yin about standing behind the heart that you would like to share.
Yeah, we talk a lot about integrity and about centeredness and about grounding. And Kuan Yin told us many years ago that what we needed to do always was to remember to stand behind our heart. She reminds us that the heart is an intake chakra and that very often we end up moving out of our hearts, especially when there is an emotional connection of some sort. And that to be truly effective as bearers of light or love in this world, we need to stand behind our heart. So we've developed a little kind of an exercise. If you'd like to do this, we'll just put you through it. It's a grounding exercise. It's very simple. So what I want you to do all is to just kind of relax wherever you are. It doesn't matter. Put your feet on the ground and take a breath. And another breath. And I don't want you to take a big, long breath, a controlled breath. I just want you to breathe just the way you're breathing. And begin to notice your breathing. And allow yourself to just rest on your own breath. Figure out where your feet are. Terrific. And begin to breathe yourself into your body from your feet, up through your legs and into your first chakra or your hips. And just notice, like, maybe it's water just kind of rising up through your whole body, that lovely sense of being relaxed and whole and fluid. And as it does that, it eventually makes its way up through your throat, in the front and back of your head. And it'll fountain out your head and back into the ground, and you're going to stay inside and watch the fountain. So now you're grounded and you're centered. And what I want you to do is I want you to take a big, giant step in your feeling body behind your heart. If you do this on an intake and breath, and on the exhale, it's like you're standing behind your heart. When you do this, you're thoroughly grounded. And now you have the capacity to see what's coming around you and decide how you would like to respond to what is happening. When you find yourself feeling disturbed or distressed or frustrated or in too much of a hurry, you don't have to do anything really big. If you just put your feet on the ground, say, "Hello, big toe," take one or two breaths, and on the third breath, stand behind your heart and settle yourself in. Your whole world slows down, everything shifts, and now you are in a position to begin to deal with whatever it is that's in front of you.
So, what beautiful images we've received tonight. We have standing behind our heart, as shared with us by Reverend Charlotte Tinker, brought through from Kuan Yin, about doing that grounding and standing behind your heart and creating that balance, that settling, that peace, and putting us in connection with our heart. And then we also had the aware heart as a level of communication with Dr. Arnold Buss earlier. And so I think this is perfect because this is February, and February is the month of balanced love. It's the only month in the year that really focuses on that balanced love. And it's a year of self-love, success and prosperity through that self-love. And when we couple all of those things together and all of our discussions today about connection and heart connection and heartfelt love and everything else about ourselves, what we're really saying is this is the time for each and every one of us to become one of those points of light that we didn't have in 2001, to really let the forces of darkness know that we're not here to kill each other. We're here to connect with each other. We're here to love each other. We're here to create understanding through heart awareness and heart connection. We're here because we're standing behind our heart and leading with our love in our lives with ourselves and in our connections with others.
Yeah, light, it's funny because light or love embraces dark and then changes it. I had an experience with Kuan Yin once when I was on a healing table, and I was found myself in a room, and there was like an attic up there, and while I was doing the healing, the door dropped down and all of this black stuff was coming out, and I was really, really scared. And I called on Kuan Yin in my mind, and she came in and she touched the black stuff, and it turned into these incredibly beautiful, light-filled golden butterflies. So I spend time, you know, two or three times a week where I try to do that myself. I try to look at what's going on in the world and touch that energy so that it can change itself into light. Because if we fight that darkness, we only create more of it. If we embrace it and love it, and Kuan Yin tells us all of the time for people who are in those places, not to judge them, but to put them in our laps like they were baby children, like they were babies who were locked into a nightmare and can't wake up. And what they need more than anything in the world is for us to hold them in our laps, in our hearts, and love them, and whisper to them like you would your baby, thing, "It's okay, and I'm here, and you're safe." And that allows them the space to change how they wish to be in the world. As long as we fight with them, as long as we judge them, as long as we work against them, they have to stand on that stand no matter whether they want to or not. And our job as healers, as light bearers, as people who stand in our hearts and work in the world from our heart space, is to really embrace all of that and allow it to find its own way back.
And what's so powerful for me about what you just shared is that it reminds us that I use the term forces of darkness. I introduced it into this conversation. I want to be real clear. But for me, the forces of darkness, as Kuan Yin has expressed and you've expressed, are really about forces creating separation.
Yes.
They can only survive through separation. There is no desire to connect. Like-minded people may get together and band together, but it ain't a heartfelt thing. It's not heartfelt. They're not creating that type of connection. And nothing stands in the face of love. That doesn't mean love cannot get damaged or hurt or repelled by someone who lives in separation. But at the same time, separation requires us to carry the baggage of the pain, of the hurt, of the anger, and not create the peace of the love that comes from all of us. So really the choice is, where do you want to live?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to live in the pain, or do you want to live in the love? And I also believe that there's a part of us that thinks loving is not recognizing the truth of a situation sometimes. It's the old rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, not true. Actually, from Kuan Yin's perspective, if you truly know what love is, and she thinks that we need to redefine the word love always. She speaks about that a lot. If you truly know what love is, and love means you are absolutely centered in the soul self or in the heart space, in which is no separation. There is no judgment. There is discernment, but not judgment. And if you are truly if you truly become love, because she doesn't say that you feel love, you give love, you do love. She says you must become love. What you want in the world, you must become. If you want a world that's in peace, you must become peace. Not peaceful, peace. If you want to live in a world that is love, you must become love. Mm. And when you become love, it isn't that you don't see the pain and the fear in other people. It's that you don't join them in it. You don't judge them about it. You simply love them for where they are. And that allows them the opportunity to have enough space to figure out maybe there's another way for them to live as well.
So as I think back based on that statement, I think it's very clear from my life that I wanted to become Haagen-Dazs vanilla ice cream. Because
with nuts.
No, mine was without nuts. It's just the plain vanilla. I'm such a purist. But
you're a magician.
Yeah. But I love that. It's the becoming. I love the way that feels just hearing it. There's mm-hmm. a resonance with that settles in and says become. I like the idea, this is a mind-centered thing, but I like the idea of even thinking to myself, not be love, do love, become love.
Yes.
Become. There's a settling to it. There's a power to it, to just
it's
become.
It's an I am statement.
Mm.
So I am love. Mm. I am eternal. I am timeless. When you make an I am statement, you're speaking directly to that part of you which is everything there is, and not separate, because you're speaking about separation. Individuation is not the same thing as separation. So in order to separate, you have to step out of your own soul self in order to separate and therefore make judgments. And Kuan Yin says that's karma, that judgment is karma. Karma is judgment. And to reconstruct that or to reconcile that, you must come back to that state of what you truly are in the heart of you and what everything is, and that's perfect love, that's all there is. If you start from that premise, then that's what you're consistently remind yourself of and then experience that.
Well, I don't think anyone listening right now needs to be reminded of how powerful and profound that was I am statement, and to remind us to become love, to be the love that we are. And this is Reverend Charlotte Tinker, again, a healing minister and trans channel. She's the channel for Kuan Yin, Q-U-A-N-Y-N. You can go to Y-I-N. Just because it's there doesn't mean I can
see
say it. But I even know how to spell it. It's not like I have to say it. Y-I-N, KuanYinSpeaks.com. You can go to the guest page of GoodVibrationsRadio.com and connect directly over from there. Go ahead and explore not only the local events for those in the local area that you can get to, but her products, as well as the books and pamphlets that are available that share some of this wonderful wisdom. Now, an important thing for all of us to remember, and if you're not doing a practice like this, we have to encourage that you definitely consider it, is that we have spent years of framing ourselves in the negative, of taking in the negative and framing those statements that flow through our mind. In order to break that pattern, it's not a question of discipline to do it. You need to put in other phrases and statements mm-hmm. that become second nature to you. Going through some of these pamphlets and books of the statements of Kuan Yin and the understanding, and treating them like you would any other book of statements, guides, or everything, which means open it up in the moment. Don't go searching for something. Let your intuition be the guide. Mm-hmm. You will always find something that can help you. Even if it doesn't feel right for the moment, it probably is. We just don't know it.
Especially if it doesn't feel right for the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I call these sip and dip books, which means that you just open it up and read it and then put it aside and go on about your day.
Exactly. Yeah. And think about that statement. Think about the phrase that you just read. Think about the wisdom that you just got from that. And let it settle into you to see what it means for you. And remember, the problem sometimes we get into with our little monkey minds are trying to have a literal interpretation of this one phrase must only mean this. No, it means so many different things depending on how many people actually read it, mm-hmm. because it's different for each and every person, and it's important for each of us to allow that experience to happen on its own.
And it's different every time you read it, too, because we're in a different place each time we read something. So every time I read, you know, Stand Behind Your Heart, it's like, oh, yeah. Oh, okay. And it isn't that we backslide. It's that we've moved. It's that we've learned what we got, and we're now on a different level of that. And we've come back around to learn it on a deeper way, in mm-hmm. a deeper way, mm-hmm. in a more encompassing way, perhaps, in a broader understanding. There's a broader understanding available to us because we take what we can in the moment, and when we begin to live what that is, then that begins to expand who we are, and now we have more to gain from the very same words oftentimes.
Very true. So Reverend Charlotte Tinker will be here every Thursday to share healing the world one heart at a time, bringing through her own experience and wisdom as well as the wisdom of Kuan Yin to let us know what we can do to apply some little kernel to our lives so that we can live a much more fulfilled, much more happy, much more loving, much more peaceful life in each and every moment as we choose. So thank you for joining us this evening.
You're most welcome. Yeah. Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed this thoroughly.
Yeah. It's always a pleasure. And I want to let the listeners know that tomorrow night we're going to be listening once again to... Oh, I got to go look. Aren't I so bad?
You're so good.
But we're going to be listening to our conversation with Susan Anderson. Oh, there we go. The outer child work. Boy, was she the right one for us to start the week with, for me. But that outer child work, that manifestation. And then we'll have Kirilani's Go With The Flow and some other information. But actually, you know what? I think I'm going to put in the second hour. I'd like to hear more of the Councils of the Seventh Awakening from the 24th of January, when they actually shared some direct guidance for us at this point in time, so that we can actually continue to move forward. If we're not acting on ourselves each and every day, trying to hone something down, then we're letting life direct us and pull us. We're not living our own life. So next Thursday, remember to come back for Healing the Heart, Healing the World, One Heart at a Time, with Reverend Charlotte Tinker. We'll also have Arne Buss doing Speaking of Listening, and we'll be able to move forward and find better ways of living a heartfelt life. Thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. We're going to go out as we went out the night before, because I'm really stuck on this, by looking on the bright side of the road.
Sometimes I don't know why. And time seems to go by so fast. In the twinkling of an eye. Let's enjoy it while we can.
Let's enjoy it while we can.
Help me share my load.
Help me share my load.
From the dark end of the street to the bright side.
Listening to Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani.